when you put this foundational piece down in a company, or when you put it down in your own life, it really is the foundation that you can build everything else off of. Because once you build that structure of the discipline and you can build it into a habit so that it becomes easier, and it then is simpler to add in some of these other characteristics or skills or habits that you want, because you're in that state where it's easier to be able to say, hey, you know what? I really want this outcome. It's really important to me. It's well worth it. I want the pleasure more than I want the pain. And I'm willing to put myself through that in order to come out the other side stronger. I'm Stephen Pesavento, and welcome to the Name Your Number podcast presented by The Investor Mindset. As someone who comes from a challenging childhood, I've spent my life seeking financial security, personal growth, and ultimately freedom. The freedom to not wake up worried about the next paycheck, but rather with the confidence of knowing that my passive income pays my bills without the need to think about it. When you name your number that you'll earn passively, that creates your ultimate quality of life, then I believe you've achieved real freedom. Welcome to my show. It's time to name your number. I have Dre Baldwin in the studio. How you doing today, Dre?
I'm doing excellent, Stephen. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent as well. I'm excited to talk. You've got an interesting journey, an interesting story. I know you've been helping people with their mindset and getting into that business space. And you come from a professional athlete type background. So there's a bunch of cool stuff we're going to cover today. Before we get into all that, what I'm curious about is, when we look back at earlier in your life, what events or influences from your childhood shaped who you are today?
Man, that's a deep question. We could have a whole conversation just on that. But I would say always being into sports and being a competitive person. I think it was a good amount of competitiveness just wired in me. But then getting into sports, you see the competition aspect of it. Luckily, I had some good athletic genes. So then that's what really kind of led me to sports. And at the same time, my parents were... they were steadfast making sure that their kids, I had one sister who's a year older than me, making sure that we got a good education, that we went to school and college, because neither of my parents, when we were born, had finished college. So they wanted us to go to school and get, you know, good grades, graduate, et cetera. And I would say those two things, because the education angle led to me reading a lot, and that led to the writing, and that plays a big role in what I do in business now. And then the, of course, the sports angle, and just being a young boy, you know, boys can go in all different directions without the proper guidance, you know, so having both parents at home, I had the proper guidance to where I was never going on the wrong path. I got showed something, a youthful way to use that energy, that youthful male energy, and that became sports. So the sports and the reading kind of led to everything that we do now.
Yeah, there's something really powerful about having that container, something that you can pour yourself into and learn the skills that lead to a great character. What was it that propelled you or pushed you towards getting into sports and using that as a vehicle to become the man that you are?
You mean as a kid or in the adult area? Yeah, as a kid, I don't know if I chose it. I think it just got shown to me. I think it was, you know, your parents look at you, or this young boy, young males have a lot of energy. I got a son who's not even 2 years old yet. So he has a lot of energy. And as he gets older, he's going to need an outlet for the energy. So usually parents send their kids, at least the males, I don't know about the females, but the males usually get sent to sports, at least to try it out, because a way to let that energy out. So whether they're doing some type of a combat sport, you know, karate, something like that, swimming, soccer, baseball, basketball, boxing, whatever, just to get that energy out, because it'll drive the parents crazy. So I think that's what was the thing with my parents, was or go outside and play. It was what we did back in the 1990s, back in the day. We would go outside and play, and that's what everyone was doing. We were playing sports. So no kickball, basketball, et cetera. And again, I just happened to have some good genetics. I ended up being pretty tall, so eventually made my way to basketball.
Yeah, I think there's something really powerful about starting in that place, because, you know, fast forward, you jumped into the world of being a professional athlete and working to get onto the teams and be able to kind of create a career. But it really starts with a competitive nature. There's something unique that I see very prevalent in both athletes and people who are very successful in the military. And it's a level of discipline and it's a level of commitment where they don't give up. So what do you think and what have you seen that people can learn from professional athletes, from that mindset that they can then bring into their personal life or their careers?
Well, number one is the performance mandate. That in the sports world, there's a mandate that you have to perform. And it's a results-based business. And you are measured by the results you produce. In sports world, we have a scoreboard. You know, it's different from the business world in that in business, not everybody has the same aims. Not everyone has the same scoreboard. People are doing things for different reasons. Whereas in the sports world, there is one judge and jury, and that is the scoreboard. There's a winner, there's a loser. It's a binary. Whereas in the business world, everybody can win theoretically. In the sports world, everybody cannot win. And it's not supposed to be like that. So that's the number one thing I would say from the athletic world, that you have to perform and you have to produce a result. And then, of course, the means to the ends of performance and producing result would be things like showing up every day and doing your job, which is what a lot of business people, especially in the sales world, you need to have that skill, because you're getting doors slammed in your face all the time. You know, you're getting people telling you no. You get people not following up with you. You got deals falling through. So how do you get up and go to the next one as if the last one didn't happen? And that's also contributes to the concept of mental toughness. And then the confidence of just putting yourself out there, putting your work out there, putting your offer or yourself out there boldly and authentically so that people can see it, knowing that you're going to be judged, you're going to be observed, you're going to be critiqued. People are going to be poking and prodding and looking for maybe a weakness or looking for something to criticize. Just how it is, it comes with attention when you're a high level performer, and understanding this is all part of the game. And then also in the something that I extracted from the sports world that I know the business world uses a lot is just that initiative. Just that willingness, Stephen, to just go and get started, not wait for an opportunity to come find you, but actually go and create opportunities maybe where there was nothing happening, going and kind of just being that fire starter. How can I start a fire here where nothing was going on before I started doing it? So I would say those aspects, because that really became the foundation of what work on your game was about when I started giving it to people who were not athletes.
Yeah. When somebody is an athlete, what I've seen is that they have a discipline, they have a drive, they have a commitment to doing the right thing over and over again, to practice in order to become the best at that skill that they're working towards in order to win the game. But you don't always win. You have to keep going. And no matter how hard it is, you almost have to fight your way to it. Like, even to become a professional athlete, it's super competitive. So what is it that somebody can do immediately that will lead them to being able to actually start bringing some of those characteristics inside of them? Maybe let's just start with discipline as one of the first, because I think that's one of the hardest things to teach, yet one of the most important things when it comes to business.
Yes, I 100% agree that discipline is the number one. I would say if someone asked me, Dre, what's the number one asset that you use your entire just adult life to create, I guess what we can call success, is discipline. That's number one. And discipline is about, how I define it, is your willingness to show up every single day and do the work and do your job, whatever it happens to be. And the biggest challenge that people have with discipline, Stephen, is that people try to, everyone understands that they need it. If you were to stop 10 people on the street and ask them, hey, do you feel like you need more discipline in life? Or you ever see on social media, people do those street interviews. They just walk up to random people and ask them questions. So if you did that and just ask people, hey, do you need more discipline in any aspect of your life? Everybody would say yes. Nobody would say, no, I'm good. Everybody says yes. And then you just ask them which area, and everyone would have something different. But I would guess, because I've had a lot of people say it to me, that is a couple common areas, usually fitness, finances. Usually those are the top two that I hear, and mindset, usually those three. And the thing is, the way people mess it up with discipline is that they try to force feed it. So they say, okay, I need to be more disciplined. And I say, okay, when someone tells me that, I say, okay, well, what are you doing now to get more disciplined? What do you need to do? What needs to happen in order for you to become more disciplined? And they usually give some answer like, I need to just push myself, or I got to get more motivated, or I got to be more locked in, or I got to be more consistent. It's usually these circular answers, which I got to do more of the thing that I'm already not doing, right? So they're not getting there because they're trying to force feed discipline. That's not the way discipline works. So the key thing people need to understand about discipline is that discipline is a result of structure. When you have the proper structure in place and you follow the structure, discipline is a natural byproduct of the following of a structure. So anyone who's ever played a team sport, the coach presents the structure. The coach gives you the structure. As long as you follow the structure of the coach, you will be disciplined in doing what the structure says, as long as you follow it. Now, if you try to not follow it, then that's a lack of discipline. Usually you end up off the team. If you had no parents at home when you were growing up who raised you in sense, they provided the structure. And if you followed it, then you would be disciplined because you followed the structure. When you went to school, if there was a, you were in second grade and the teacher was not there that day and you see a substitute walk in the room, all the kids start grinning because we know that that day the classroom is going to be a zoo because the teacher represents what? Structure. And it, that day everybody was acting all bad, but then the next day when the main teacher comes back, everyone's good again. So what happened? Did the kids just forget how to behave that one day? No, they didn't forget. They just realized that there was no structure today, so we can do what we want. But as soon as the structure comes back, they go right back to behaving again. So structure creates the discipline. So the most important thing anyone needs if they want to be more disciplined in life is they need the proper structure to follow. And this is the reason why courses and programs and coaching and consulting exists, because the people who create those things are providing a structure that, assuming that their structure is any good, it will produce a certain predictable result.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, growing up, I didn't have a lot of structure. It was very free form. And when I got into college and then into the business world, I realized the thing that I had actually been yearning for was the thing that I had rejected for so long. And it was that structure. And it was the irony of that. Once you put that structure in place and you start following it and you have that commitment and you have that discipline, then you actually start showing up and realizing that things are actually easier from that place rather than harder. But there's a bucking bronco type energy at first whenever you're coming in or stepping into a structure. So what do you recommend to the leaders who are listening, the business owners who recognize that they're missing this in their company and that the team actually needs this to succeed? How can they go about implementing it into a way that people are going to love the fact that it's in place?
Oh, well, they just call me and I'll come in and teach it. But no, other than that, the number one thing is they got to have a reason. That's the most important thing, Stephen, is they got to have a reason. And that nobody's going to follow a structure unless they have a reason to believe that that structure is going to get them something that they want. So the thing about discipline is, and I talk about this whenever I discuss discipline, is that you got to have an anchor for your discipline. An anchor for your discipline is what is the outcome that you are, that you want strongly enough that you are willing to endure discipline in order to get it. So somebody may, for example, not like working out. Somebody just, they hate doing burpees. They hate the treadmill. Feel stupid to do pushups. They don't want to listen to a trainer. They don't like any of that stuff, but they're about to get married in 6 months and they want to lose 25 pounds so they look good in photos. So their desire to look good in those photos will help them deal with the discomfort of working out. Even though they still don't like working out, even after they do it, they want the result badly enough that they're willing to deal with it. So it's about what is the anchor? What do you care about enough that you're willing to go through it? If someone has a company, for example, there's several things you could use. You could find out what each individual wants and kind of get on their level. So let's say I'm the boss and I can get on the level of all my staff and find out what they want and show them how getting what they want will occur if they follow the structure and get the discipline. I can also just make it about what I want. Listen, if you don't do this, you're fired. All right. That can work too. All right. So whatever it is, you just have to figure out what's the anchor that will move someone to take an action that they may otherwise not be so keen on taking. Because I'm the type of person who discipline almost comes natural to me. So it doesn't bother me to go and work out. It's not a drain on me to go and go find some leads and put them in the CRM. That can be kind of tedious, but I don't mind doing it. I don't mind doing the same things over and over and over again. So I refer to myself sometimes as a robot. And most people are not like that. So you have to figure out what is the anchor that you care about enough that you're willing to do the things that the structure requires in order to produce the discipline, in order to get the outcome. So basically reverse engineering the whole process.
Yeah. It's amazing because when you put this foundational piece down in a company or when you put it down in your own life, it really is the foundation that you can build everything else off of. Because once you build that structure of the discipline and you can build it into a habit so that it becomes easier and it then is simpler to add in some of these other characteristics or skills or habits that you want because you're in that state where it's easier to be able to say, hey, you know what? I really want this outcome. It's really important to me. It's mm-hmm. well worth it. I want the pain more than I want the pleasure more than I want the pain. And I'm willing to put myself through that in order to come out the other side stronger.
Right. More than you don't want the pain.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, right. Exactly. You're willing to deal with the pain in order to obtain that pleasure. So it's getting clear on those things and understanding that it's going to be a long race. Usually when we're talking about discipline, we're looking at like a wholesale change in your life overall. So there's going to come a point that when you first start, maybe it's a little bit easy because you haven't done it before, it's new. But when that novelty wears off, are you going to keep showing up? So that process there, we call that the third day. Are you going to show up on that third day when it's not so new anymore, it's not fun anymore, this has now become a job? Can you still show up then? And that's really what separates the pros from the amateurs.
So when you were on the journey towards becoming a pro athlete, you weren't the best player. People didn't know who you were. What did it take in order to finally be noticed, to step into that role and start feeling like you were making progress towards the thing that you wanted? At the time, it was being a pro athlete. We'll wrap around and talk about business from there.
Yeah, so I started playing pro ball, and this, I give people the timeline because it matters. It was 2005, so I got out of college in 2004. Nobody was checking for me because I came from a Division III college, which doesn't really produce pro players. So the first thing that I did was I went to a couple of local tryouts for local like semi-pro type teams, but nothing really came from that. So then a whole year goes by. I'm working a couple of regular jobs. Then I go to this event called an exposure camp. You ever heard of those, Steven? Know where they are?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's a place where all of these people come together who have the relationships, the connections, and most importantly, yeah, they're looking to see if they can find the players no one else is seeing.
Exactly. Right. So it's basically like a job fair for athletes. So me and 200 other guys who all think they're good enough to play pro, but at the time we didn't have a contract, we all show up to this one event and we're all trying to showcase ourselves for these decision makers. So it's like a casting call, I guess you could say, but the sports version. And I played pretty well at that event. So that was really my first step, because that was an exposure camp that was designed specifically to showcase pro level players. So that was the first thing that I really did that was moving me in the right direction. Now, something had to happen there. I had to actually play well. So had I gone there and played terribly, then this wouldn't have been the first step. So I had to go there and I had to play well. And these events are not, it's not like you get a whole month to grow on people. These events are 2 days. It was Saturday and Sunday. You just play 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday. So whatever you do, you do. And I played pretty well there. So I got a good scouting report. I got some good footage. And then I leveraged that to go get me an agent. An agent in sports is just the middleman who knows all the people with the jobs, and he knows the people who want the job. So they're the middleman. I got with an agent. The agent helped me get my first contract. So that's how I started playing pro in 2005. But understanding that I had to take all of these steps. Number one, find the exposure camp I was going to go to. Number two, save up the money for it. Mind you, I'm a college graduate with, you know, working a couple of radio jobs. I don't have any money. All right, so I had to save up my money to even go to the exposure camp. It was $250 at the door, which I paid in cash because I didn't have a bank account or a credit card at the time, 23 years of age. And then I had to play well at the camp over 2 days. Then I had to take whatever I got from the camp and find a middleman. Either a team could sign me directly. That didn't happen. Yeah. Or I had to go find an agent who could help me get a contract. I went and called agents. So anybody who knows anything about the sports world, understand that when you're a high-level pro athlete, the agents are calling you because they want to represent you, because if they help you get a contract, they make money. No agent was calling me. I had to call them. All right, so I sold myself to an agent. And then that agent started making calls on my behalf. After I sold him on me, then he went and sold them on me. And that's how I got into the pro ball.
What I think is so powerful about this example is that it's a perfect example of what worked to get you into that door, but that same exact strategy will get you into the next door, whether it's speaking on stages, whether it's growing your business, whether it's getting investment, or maybe it's getting a job or a career. It's like you need to find a way to get in front of the people who have those relationships and those connections, the people who can say, yeah, this guy is really good. We want him to be on our team. We want to make an investment. We want to do this. And then you've got to also come in with the skills, right? You had to practice, you had to do the work for a very long time in order to come in to be able to perform in front of that audience. But then finally, you had to actually do the work of going out and doing the business of making those connections, doing those follow-ups, and truly selling yourself. And I think a lot of people don't realize that they might do that first step. They might have shown up to that event. They might have played well. But if they don't go and do the follow-up, if they wait for things to come to them, you're not going to be successful. You might be lucky by being able to attract something in your life, but you actually have to put in the work.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the work of, and several pieces of work here, because in the sports world, Stephen, I know a whole lot of athletes. So I can say this, most athletes just want to play and let that be enough. They just want to play. And because I'm talented enough, because I'm good enough, because I have game, then all the opportunity will come to me. All I got to do is sign the contract, and then I'll just go play, let them take care of that. And ideally, Stephen, that's exactly how my career would have went too. But it didn't go that way. So I had to put my marketer and my salesperson hat on, because I had to go sell myself just to get an opportunity to get on the court and do the game part. So for me, it kind of got me started on the business journey already when I was still playing basketball, because I had to sell myself even to get in. Because again, coming from the level that I came from, every player thinks, every college basketball player in the world right now thinks they can play pro basketball. And it's probably about 100,000 players in college basketball right now. It's just males. Worldwide, there's about 5,000 jobs for an American-born male who has an American passport to play professional basketball in the whole world, about 5,000 jobs. That sounds like a lot. That's not a lot. And mind you, that – oh, go ahead.
Well, I think the thing that's so fascinating about it is what it really comes down to, it underlines that anchor that we talked about earlier, where you had a burning desire. I want to be a pro athlete. I want to move forward in my career as an athlete, and I'm not going to give up. And anyone else would have given up after being a Division III. They would have given up after doing the practice and not getting the deal. They would have given up after not getting the deal by showing up and paying money to be at the event. And then you went one step further and found somebody who would sell you to the world. And that got you the opportunity to then go and play in the European leagues and start getting your foot in the door to make that move. So tell me, you went and played in the European leagues. What was that point after you were playing professionally that you realized, you know, despite my burning desire, maybe it's time for me to make a pivot?
Well, there were a couple points there. So about 5 years, 4 or 5 years into my career, at some point I was a free agent, phone was not ringing. So I wasn't sure if that was the end of my career. So I started focusing on building what became my brand. So I started writing more blog posts. I started putting out, I was putting videos on YouTube at this point. So I started putting videos out every day. And this was right around the time that watching, consuming social media started to become popular. People weren't really creating much, but consuming was going up. So which was great for me. And at the same time, I started making my own products. And my first product was a $4.99 program for basketball players. One for dribbling, one for shooting. Those are the first things I ever created. And I started selling those because I started to focus on, hey, how can I take some control over my situation? Just in case this phone never rings again, I never get a chance to play pro ball again, how can I still make money from basketball? So that's when I started to build out my brand. Also, you can make money off YouTube ad revenue and stuff like that. That all started around 2009, 2010. Then self-publishing came out, started writing books. So phone did ring again, luckily, and I kept playing until 2015. But by that point, I already had products out that I was selling. So after those first two products came out, they did pretty well. I made like 100 more. I made anything you could possibly do on a basketball court, I have a product for it. I made products for it. We changed them and condensed them over time, but I made a lot of products. And then I started writing books, and self-publishing was a thing. And then I started talking about the mindset aspects of basketball because the players started asking about it. Because what had happened, Stephen, is over the years on YouTube, and I started putting videos on YouTube when it first came out, 2005. And the players clearly saw that I could teach them the skill, but their challenge was, Dre, I have the skill, but I'm still not doing it. Something's happening up here in my mind that is causing me to not apply the tools that you're teaching. So can you explain some of the mindset pieces of the game? They asked for the athletes. So when I started talking about that, I started doing these videos called the Weekly Motivation. And it was just a mindset, just a little 2 to 5 minute mindset selfie video before selfie videos were a thing. And I did those every Monday for 400 Mondays in a row. And as I started doing those videos, again, this is not talking about basketball. It was just talking about mindset by itself for basketball players. People who didn't play ball started finding me from those videos. And they're the ones who told me, Dre, this message applies outside of sports. So that's how I knew what my segue out of sports was going to be, because I always knew I wanted to do something outside of the sports realm after basketball. So that's exactly what I did when I stopped playing in 2015, jumped into everything I'm doing now. I mean, it wasn't like this when I first got out, but this is what it morphed into.
The key thing that I want to underline here is that you started building that bridge to the next world before you actually needed to go over it.
That's
correct. You started building the skills, you started building the brand, you started building the connections, and then you listened to what other people actually wanted, and you had a testing approach. I think it's a really great example for those people who are listening who want to make a change in their life, that the change doesn't have to happen in a snap of a fingers. It can happen over a period of time of continuously taking new actions, testing the road, and then at some point those things are going to work because you're going to receive the feedback and you're going to kind of go all in that direction.
Yes, absolutely. So the good thing about even social media, even today, it's been many years, but social media is a great testing ground. You could just throw stuff out there as much as you want. It's free and see the feedback. And usually people who are your audience or are somewhat adjacent to your audience, they're the ones responding. So you can use social media as a way to test out your stuff, and it's completely free. So there's no reason anyone should be in the dark about what a certain audience of people might be interested in.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really cool. So you've built a business, you're having success, you're making money. What role has investing played in your life at all? Have you started investing in the market and real estate and private equity and funds? What types of things have you gone to get your money working for you? Or have you focused on pouring that money back into the business because that's the thing that you control the most?
Well, both. So I wish I had known about investing earlier. I wish someone had told me when I was a kid about investing, because I would have started 20 years sooner than I did. But once I got to understanding how it worked and what it did, then yeah, I definitely started to invest in simple investments. I mean, nothing complex. So getting into S&P 500s and things like that, just buying stocks, buying some Bitcoins. I don't pay attention to the stuff that much. I just let it automatically get taken out of my account. Then it just goes into those accounts. And every once in a while, I look at it. But I heard someone say it a long time ago, the best way to invest is to just invest and forget. So buy and forget. So that's what I do. I just let it invest. I let it sit. Every once in a while, I look at it. All right, it's growing. Cool. And that's what I did as far as the investing, if you're talking about financial investing. But when I talk to my audience, I tell them that the most important investment you have to make is an investment in yourself. That's where you start. You have to invest in yourself first, which is going to programs and conferences and buying books. And you get to the point where maybe you can hire a coach or join a coaching program or something like that. Investing in yourself, because that makes you a more valuable person. And now you can go out to the marketplace and get more money. And now you can use the money to invest in like tangible things, whatever that's going to be, or intangible things. So for me, the most important investment is always in myself. Of course, investing in the business. And then as I learned and continue to learn more, investing in other types of vehicles out there. But as far as financial investing, I'm far from, I'm not advanced, but I understand the basics.
It's a great place to start, because when you invest in the index, the S&P index, you invest into all the stocks that are out there. And over time, that's probably one of the best ways, if you're not sophisticated, if you don't understand a specific business, or you don't have some unique knowledge in the market to be able to pick winners. That's one of the best ways to park your money. And so very much a slow growth, wait it out, let compound interest do its thing type methodology. And then of course, Bitcoin, I think crypto can have a key role in your portfolio. I think a lot of people end up doing way more than the 1-5% of their portfolio that I think is a safe bet to take on something that's that high risk, but it can absolutely pay off, because we've seen how much it's grown. I think you know, I have a small portfolio of ETH and some other things, and it's tripled in the last few months.
Right.
And yet a year ago, it was worth way, way less. Yeah, and it just continues that roller coaster. And so for me, if I'm too connected to the volatility, it kind of drives me nuts, which is why I like real estate or businesses that I have some control or influence in. And the returns are stronger. But I think people do make a mistake where if they're not investing into themselves, if they're not learning the skills and knowledge to understand how to select an investment, how to go and find the right piece of real estate or the right partner to invest in, that's when they get into trouble. So you absolutely have to start from that place of doing the thing that you do best to make the money and then learning a skill or finding the right people to help you in order to build that income into wealth.
Absolutely. So that's investing in yourself to make yourself more valuable. While at the same time, again, for my son, for example, he's not even 2 years old yet. I started an investment portfolio for him and just putting a little bit of money consistently, but consistently in. I wish I had been doing that when I was, you know, 18. I would have a lot more money had I known, you know, what I know now. So just even if you're starting small, I mean, you could start with $5, a dollar even, and just slowly investing in yourself over time. And once you see what it does, then when you have more money, you can put more in. But absolutely, investments in yourself pay you back later in the future.
So if we're talking to somebody and they're listening to this and they're thinking to themselves, hey, Dre, you said a lot of stuff. I agree with it, but I just feel like I know what to do, but I'm not doing it. What is that first step that you recommend to get them on track towards creating more of a life that they love?
And get clear on what your outcome is, where you want to go. Because if anyone knows what they need to do, but they're not doing it, then there's some resistance with the doing it part. So what do you want? If you were to do that, where's it going to take you? And then where does that take you? And where does that take you? What's the ultimate outcome here? What do you want? Excuse me. Because the main thing that stops people from doing things when they know they're supposed to do them, Stephen, is that there's resistance in the activity. That's why they're not doing it. Because if you wanted to do it, you would just do it. So what is behind that activity that you actually want, or maybe is behind the thing that's behind the thing, but we need to figure out what is something that's behind one of these closed doors that you actually want, because that is what we can use to anchor you and move you through these other activities. But if there isn't anything, then we got to rework this whole thing, because we just got a bad goal here. Because if there's nothing that's going to pull you through the challenging times or the things that you have some resistance to, then this is just a bad formula. I call it an inaccurate formula. So no matter how motivated you get yourself, this is not going to last.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Starting with clarity, knowing what you want, why you want it, is the starting point that you can build everything else off of.
That's right.
I've got one more question for you, Dre, before we go. Where's the best place for people to follow you or get in touch?
Well, I'm on all the social medias, probably most active on Instagram. Instagram, just my name, at Dre Baldwin. And then as far as our stuff, you can just go to, let me see. Can I give people a free copy of my book, Third Day?
Sure.
Okay. So this book, Third Day, is all about how you show up and give your best effort when you least feel like it. So kind of what we've been talking about. So when you meet that resistance and you're not really doing the stuff that you know you need to do, or you think that may happen, get this book right here. How do pros separate themselves from the amateurs, or the difference between the pros and the amateurs? And it's all about decision. This is not a talent. It's not about motivation. It is a choice, and it's a system. So the book is called Third Day. You can get it for free. Just cover the shipping. Just go to thirddaybook.com. We will send a physical copy of this book to your doorstep. Thirddaybook.com.
Absolutely. Go grab a copy of that book. And as we finish, let's find out, other than your own books, what single or two books made the biggest impact in your life?
Wow, there's so many. You limited me to two. I would say 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene is my favorite book of all time. Number one for personal development, I would say The Law of Success by Napoleon Hill.
Both incredible books. Well, Dre, thanks so much for joining us. It was amazing talking to somebody who has a similar outlook on life, and look forward to the next time we get to hang out.
Well, I appreciate the time and you sharing your platform here, Stephen. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks. We'll see you guys next week. Today's episode is sponsored by Von Finch Capital. If you're interested in investing alongside me in the same type of real estate opportunities that I personally invest in, then head over to Von Finch Capital and join their private investor network. You can do so at vonfinch.com/invest. Join me on that next deal, and I look forward to seeing you on the inside. Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, make sure to rate, review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Head over to theinvestormindset.com to join the Insider Club, where we share tools and strategies from the top investors and entrepreneurs on how to take it to the next level. Hey, this is Steven again. Just one more thing before you take off, and that is the Insider's Newsletter. Would you enjoy getting a single email every week with some of my favorite things, including tips and strategies on how to get the most out of your life and your investments? Basically, what it is some of the coolest things that I've discovered or am pondering when it comes to life, investing, and business delivered in a short email every week to your inbox. Easy to sign up for, easy to cancel. If you'd like to try it out, type into your browser, investormindset.com/newsletter to get started, and you'll get the very next one.